What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Episode 246 of Bucko Banter. We are here at the Orlando winter meetings for the 2026 season. We're going to talk about Marco Luciano, Joe Stinson, Garcia, the trade, Johan Oviedo, and what the winter meetings mean for the Pittsburgh Pirates this year. You're listening to the Bucko Banter podcast, brought to you by the Just Baseball Media Network. Cue the music.
Rockin' 101, shit, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plate, send in case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
Welcome back to another episode of Bucko Banner. Today we are live from the Airbnb here in Kissimmee, to be exact. Right around the corner from the winter meetings. We got tonight's the first night here at the resort here by Epcot and Disney. We've got a lot to talk about so far and a lot more hopefully to talk about this week. But first, Adam, first, let's talk about Marco Luciano.
Let's talk Marco Luciano. So the Pirates picked Marco Luciano off the waivers. He's been in the Giants season for a while. A top prospect for them was going to be their guy in the middle infield. Just really didn't pan out last year. 227, 351, 401 batting line. But a lot of upside, low risk here.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a former blue chip prospect. I think as recent as 2024, he was a top 25, top 40 prospect, something of that nature, top prospect for the Giants. Highly regarded prospect in that system. And it just hasn't worked out in terms of making enough contact. He's got a big swing, can play multiple positions in the infield. This is a guy that is still 24 years old. And, you know, if you miss on him, it costs you nothing. But right. If you hit, you could possibly hit big. There could be some big upside here. So I think this is a waiver claim that I would take, you know, 10 times out of 10.
It's just I'm not putting much into it at all. I don't think he has any more options left.
Right.
Either. So if he makes it out of spring training, great. If not, then this costs him absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is a guy I'm going to be excited to watch, hopefully in spring training, see some balls fly out in Bradenton. And he's got big, big power. So low risk move, not really putting too much more thought into it.
Let's get to the meat of what's been going on this week. They made a trade. Johan Oviedo is now a Boston Red Sox. Joe Stinson Garcia.
First pronunciation. You did good. You did good.
I've been saying it wrong all week. All the injuries are going to be getting it wrong throughout his career here in Pittsburgh. But I like this deal. I know it's not a solution to the problems in the outfield. I think he could play pretty much all three outfield positions. There's a lot of pop in that bat. Some chase issues down at the minor league levels. They've been working on that with the Red Sox. It's going to be a matter of whether or not that can carry over to the major league level, and they can help keep developing that swing where he can be an everyday player. But I think the ceiling is really high for a guy like that compared to Oviedo, which I liked Ovi a lot. It's going to be a back then rotation guy, but you need bats. And I think this was a good move. This is like the one Charrington move where I said, like, I like this. I can't complain about it.
Yeah, I said last week before, I think one of our last recordings last week before we came down here, that they needed to make this big trade. Not necessarily that this is going to be their biggest trade, but they need to make a trade, add to this team, and show free agents that they're serious this offseason.
Right.
And while this isn't, I don't expect this to be their only move or possibly even their biggest move. I think it was a good move. Ovi, like him a lot, like you said. He came back last year, looked good. he barely pitched the last 2 years, and never did I expect the Pirates to get a top 100 prospect in return for him. This was a guy that we talked about the Pirates potentially getting in a return package for Mitch Keller at the deadline.
Right.
And now there's a lot of speculation about what Mitch Keller's true value is. I know we've kind of given our own perspective that, you know, with the news of Joe Ryan potentially not moving from Minnesota and the available arms out there, that Mitch Keller's value as a guy that's going to for sure give you, you know, 30 starts, six plus innings a start, most starts, value should be pretty high.
He starts last year, 17 quality.
Yeah, the value should be high. But regardless, getting a top 100 prospect for Ovi is really exciting. And, you know, we also got back a lower-level pitcher, Jesus Travieso, gave up Tyler Semeniego, lefty reliever. A lot of teams liked him. We've heard that he was absolutely going to get picked up in the Rule 5 this week. So that's why they brought him on, or, you know, tendered him a contract, brought him into the 40-man roster, protected him. And an Adonis Guzman, who was a catcher they drafted, I believe, fifth round last year out of Arizona, more of a glove-first catcher, started to show some pop at the end of his college career in Arizona. So all in all, I like this. You know, before we see either of these guys switch uniforms, I think the Pirates did pretty well.
Especially heading into this interview. Right. Last year, the biggest move was Spencer Horwitz, which looks good when you consider the entirety of the trade, right? Nothing else happened after that. I like making this type of move going into the winter meetings along with the hype, because it puts them in a position where it's like everybody's been talking about hanging around, whatever that means, or being involved with all these big name free agents. You made a move that kind of shows like, hey, we're dipping our feet in a little bit. We're seeing what temperature the water is, and then maybe we can hit the ground running once the meetings start, which is today, right? We've heard Schwarber's likely going to sign during the meetings. There's a lot of other names out there. Whether or not they're actually in on those names, I doubt it. But can they make a significant move that can help improve this team moving forward? Absolutely, right? So I just want to go back to going off of that, Mitch Keller. You said the value has kind of been all over the place. We've heard people say it's not as valued as high. He's like a 4 ERA guy. But what's not being taken into consideration with those evaluations, I feel like, is you mentioned quality starts, never being injured, and being able to throw 180 innings a year, right? He's not going to be, he could be a top of the rotation guy for some teams, but a competing team, a 3-4 guy who's going to go out there and give you 6+, I think that goes a long, long way. Now, maybe I'm overvaluing him because I know I want a significant bat in return or somebody that could step into the lineup and help this team win by putting runs on the board. But he's, I think you have to put him up there with like Mackenzie Gore type of guys when you're just looking at the market itself, right? Not the same pitcher, but what's out there right now and what teams are willing to do in order to bolster the rotation going into next year. I think he could be a perfect fit. But the Oviedo news kind of throws a wrench into it. I don't know. Would you like to see him moved still with Oviedo being moved?
For the right package, obviously. Like, I think there's a lot of different things that could happen. Mike Burrows is a name that has been floated out there. I mean, they've got a plethora of young arms. Braxton Ashcraft, Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller's contract is rather friendly for most teams in this league. And if it's the right package, I think they should do it. I guess my question is, first, there's been a rumored package, not a rumored package, just someone putting out a potential package of their own, not anything of any scoops that have been given. But Josh Jung from the Rangers, and this is a name I brought up in the early part of the offseason, the very beginning of as a trade target. Would you take a package of Josh Jung and a prospect for Mitch Keller? What do you think about that?
I like the upside and the power bat of Jung. I think he's
got some raw control.
Seen a little bit of regression. He plugs right in, like he's going to play third base for you. I'm still on the fence about it. I think that's probably more what a package looks like for Mitch Keller.
For Mitch Keller alone, probably.
Right, Mitch Keller alone. If you throw in another prospect, like Mitch, we're sending another prospect.
No, I think the package I saw someone put out there was Josh Jung and the Rangers' number 8 prospect. I believe it was an arm that I don't really know much about, but regardless, another arm or another prospect, middle of the road prospect, and for Mitch Keller.
I don't know. I think at that point, I'm more comfortable just going into the season with Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
In our rotation, I think need to be blown away by an offer. I don't think you can afford to mess up this trade. and Young, which I think there's 20 plus home run potential there in the corner of the infield, but it could also, he could also just kind of keep going on the decline that he was with the injuries and everything. So I'm not completely sold on that.
I think too, he's the opposite of Keller when you're looking at these trades, because with Keller, the best ability is availability. That's right. Part of the, you know, attraction to him as an arm, especially, you know, at the deadline, if a team's contending and they need innings, they need a guy to come in here and give you seven innings for the last 2 months of the season and potentially crack that postseason rotation. Mitch Keller is very attractive, and I think he should. Very handsome guy, very handsome Iowa guy, you know. Sax boys grinning over here. We got an odd live audience here in our Airbnb. But yeah, I think Josh Young is the opposite. Josh Young has not been able to stay on the field. He had a neck issue, I believe. That's kind of scary. But the upside is there, and we've seen it from him. That year that Texas went to the World Series, you saw him emerge a little bit, and he hasn't been able to be healthy since. So I don't know, a package like that for Mitch Keller alone, like, I don't think I'd hate it. But then again, if you're getting really frisky here and going to package him with other guys, I think you could get a blockbuster deal done. But
yeah, the more we talk about it now, I think I need to be 100% convinced that it's the right trade instead of really just diving deep into it and seeing like, hey, can this guy bounce back? I mean, yeah, he's going to be our best option at third base, but like, does this really truly make us better for next year and the years to come when you have Paul Skeens, Connor Griffin, and company, right? Like, who are we adding to this cast of characters, and are they going to contribute on a daily basis? And like you said, best ability is availability. So not 100% convinced. The more we're talking about it, the more I'm out on it.
And I mean, we saw it too, just to talk about some of the guys that were packaged into this deal. Semeniego was a guy that I know a lot of people liked. His stuff was nasty. They have a lot of upper level relievers that they added to the 40 man. And I think obviously they knew that he was a guy that was attractive to the other teams, especially for the Rule 5. So they have some pieces to deal from, not just starting pitchers, but they have some prospects that they've added. They've added a ton. They protected a ton from the Rule 5 draft going into the winter meeting. So, you know, I think they have some, you know, they have an ability to get creative here this week in Orlando.
Great news. I guess somebody else just fell for a Bucko Mike tweet.
What is this one?
Bucko Mike put out there, sources of Pittsburgh Pirates are discussing a 3-year deal worth $50 to $55 million, potentially for second baseman Jorge Polanco.
There we go.
Somebody said, sheesh, I still want him though.
Hey, listen, Jorge Polanco is a guy I think we're going to hear a lot about this week, and I think he would be a good fit for this team.
Somebody also said if they brought in Ketel Marte,
okay,
Jorge Polanco, and then re-signed Andrew McCutchen, you got Polanco, Marte, and McCutchen. Oh,
there we go, guys. Come on. That's a little nostalgic.
Good juju there.
There we go.
So who's the name? Before we close this, we're going to try and keep it short because we're going to be recording every day while we're down here. Who's the name that you'd like to see in trade talks or a free agent name that could potentially sign with the Pirates?
My top guy that I'm really interested in seeing is Okamoto. Like, how much interest that he garners, especially from the Pirates, and what kind of deal gets done for him. But I'd really love that signing. Other than that, like, I like the class of guys that we've talked about: Ryan O'Hearn, Jorge Polanco,
Ketel Marte in a trade.
Ketel Marte in a trade. That would be probably the best possible trade we can make this week.
Yeah. A lot of different options.
So
we'll keep it open ended from there because a lot's going to happen. You guys,
before one more thing, it was announced today. Let me pull it up that the Pirates made a decision on who's going to lead their 2026 draft. They're going to lean on assistant general manager Kevin Graves to oversee the draft. They will not hire a formal scouting director this winter. He's been a part of the org since 2008. Kevin Graves was a part of the Huntington regime as well. He has also been a part of the draft process for much of it. Many consider him a rising star. He's been around for quite some time. So Kevin Graves takes over for Justin Horwitz. I'm sure the draft talk is after the new year is going to start picking up, and then the college season starts very quickly, like February. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of news picking up there throughout the spring. But yeah, no hire to replace Justin Horwitz
right
this offseason.
All right. Well, we're going to be at the meetings through Wednesday. We'll keep you updated with all the coverage down here. We got friends down here in North Shore 9, Just Baseball, the Marine Layer podcast. So looking forward to seeing all of our friends in the baseball community. Make sure you go to the new website, buckobanter.com. The email subscription is going to pop up. Put your email in there. You get our weekly email list and newsletter every single week with articles, deals on the website, and much, much more. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on all social media. And until next time, raise it.
Raise it. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates, order steak by the plates. And they-